So today's reading comes from Luke chapter 12, and I'm starting at verse 13. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store all my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns, build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Let's just pray. Lord, I pray that you take my words, that you make them yours, that as we consider this passage and these scriptures, that you will open our hearts and minds to hear from you again this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the parable of the rich fool. I think we've got a picture there, Rosemary. Where there's a will, there's a relative. How true is that one? And Jesus gets fronted with it straight out there. He's been talking about totally different things, about trusting God and all sorts of other things. And then someone in the crowd comes out with this, you know, "Tell my brother to share his inheritance." And he's going, oh, you know, just imagine, "Who made me your judge? I'm not going to go there. I'm not even going to engage in that. Because actually, what you need to think about is things which are much more important. Things such as what we do and how we protect ourselves from greed." And so I love the way that he completely diverted away from the topic of inheritance. And what I want to look at today is, again, I'm not going to talk about inheritance. I remember, like, when my mum died, we had various family heirlooms that Claire and I had always been going, you know, I quite fancy the monk's bench, and you can have the monk's bench if I can have the Chinese tables. And we used to joke about it all the time. But actually, when the time came, it was like, no, 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 you have them, you know, because actually it really doesn't matter, does it? So what I want to talk about this morning is three things that I think relate to this parable that Jesus told. First one is around stewardship. And is it wrong to accumulate? The second one is, who do we trust to provide for us? You don't have to go through them all now. And what should be our inheritance? So if we look at the first one, there's this man that what you can't see is what he's standing on is a whole pile of money. Okay? So he's just accumulated all this wealth. Whereas on the other side, we have a picture of Joseph. What I want to think about is, in worldly terms, when we hear that story of the man, and he's done very well for himself, and he's got lots of grain, and he's got, you know, provided for himself pretty well. And so he decides to actually store it so that he can retire early and enjoy his retirement. Being a person who supposedly has retired a couple of times, I can remember when we went right back when Rick retired, who he has stayed retired, we thought, oh, we ought to look and see how much money we should have, you know, in order to keep us in our retirement. And so we went onto this website, which was called, I think it was called Get Sorted. Yeah, other people that have been in that situation. And you go through and you're meant to answer all these questions. And the first question they ask you is, how long do you think you're going to live? So, yeah, it really fits well with this particular parable. And then it gives you some examples. If you live to 85, you'll need this much money. If you live to 90, you'll need this much money. And, you know, and in the end, it's like, I don't know, how long are we going to live? So then you think, okay. So we put in a question, what happens if you live longer than you thought you would when you were working out how much money you needed? And it said, don't spend so much. So we gave up on that whole thing because it was just so crazy. And we really don't know, do we, when we are, God is going to call us home. And so what do we do with all of that? But is stewardship and looking after ourselves wrong? And then I thought about the story of Joseph. And he also gathered in lots of grain. Why? Because God told him there was going to be a famine and that he would need to be gathering all this grain so he could feed the nation and, in fact, his family as well. And so he did indeed collect all this and then gave it out, and they survived the 7 years of famine that were coming. So what's different? Well, I think the first one is that this man thought, oh, yeah, I can have a nice, easy time now. I've collected all this. I've made it myself. I don't need to rely on God because actually it's me that went out there and grew all that grain. And now I can build the barns to put it in. Whereas Joseph had been told by God to do that because there was going to be a famine and it would mean that he could provide for his nation. So two different ideas. Is stewardship wrong? No. Maybe it's around our motivation and why we're doing it and how we do it. Always in the understanding that it's not about what we can do. It's what God has allowed for us in our lifetime. So that brings me to the next one, which is, who do we trust to provide for us? The rich man was very much relying on himself. It's what he'd done. He'd achieved this, and he was doing really well. He didn't need God. God was sort of out there on the outskirts. But God always provides for our needs. And it reminded me of two stories. And the first one you'll probably guess is Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. And again, we are in a famine situation, and Elijah is told by God to go and see this particular woman who is making her last meal for herself and her son. They had a little bit of flour left and a little bit of oil, and she was going out to do that. And Elijah comes along and says, can you make me one? Can you give it to me first? Can you imagine that? We've got this amount, and I've got to give away this amount before I can have this amount between two of us. But she does. And what happens? The flour and the oil never run out until the famine is over. Trusting God for that provision, both Elijah and the widow. Then you might say, what on earth have we got oranges up there for? There's a story that has lived with me for a very long time, and it's one I often come back to, and it's about Jackie Pullinger. Who knows Jackie Pullinger? Yeah, she was a missionary in Hong Kong, very much working with the drug addicts. I think she wrote a book, was it Chasing the Dragon? Yeah. And she had this church, really poor church in in Hong Kong, and she heard about these Vietnamese refugees who were being put on an island with no food or water. And she thought this was awful. And so she went to the government and she said, what can I do? What can we do to help? And they said, we're not impressed by your Christian do-gooding, giving a little bit of aid. So they said, if you really want to help, send oranges. And you can't just send a few oranges. You've got to send 6,000 oranges, otherwise there'd be an absolute riot. And not only have you got to send 6,000 oranges, you've got to provide for it to be transported there. And not only can you do it on one day, you've got to do it every day. Huge ask for this little tiny church. So she goes back and she says to the treasurer, you know, about what they're going to do. And the treasurer says, or shall I call a prayer meeting so we can pray and see whether it's the right thing to do? And she says, nah, we know it's the right thing to do. So we're going to do it. And so the treasurer, as treasurers do, said, sorry, darling. She said, if we do this, we will starve in 3 days. But they decided to do it anyway. And they give 6,000 oranges every day for 2 months. And at the end of that time, they set up a sort of an orange account. And in that orange account, when they finished, because the refugees moved, they got moved to a better place, they had $100,000 left in the orange account. So what did they do? They gave it to Ethiopia because they'd heard that there were people in Ethiopia that were starving. That, for me, is how God provides. And whenever I see an orange, I can't help but remember that story. What faith that had to be able to do that, knowing that in reality it was impossible, but actually a bit like the flour and the oil, God provided. So then it made me think, well, what's our inheritance? We might not know how long we live, but we know what we could leave behind. What is our own inheritance? And I've been looking through a lot of All Saints' past history because of the 150th coming up. And we have an incredible heritage that we have adopted that is part of who we are. And it's what has been passed on for generation to generation, the whole 150 years. In 1956, and again in 1959, and again in 1961, All Saints had a revenue drive to raise funds for ongoing work that they believed God was calling them to do. They had a whole booklet, which I found. And it said that what they were trying to do was raise £58,000, which in those days is equivalent to our £3.5 million. This was in a three-year period. Now, I don't know, because I haven't managed to look at that, to see whether or not they actually collected it or whether they had three different revenue drives. But what I do know is that there was an expansion of Sunday schools. There was halls and churches being built. In 1958, St Oswald's was built. In 1961, the whole parish of St Matthew's was established. In 1966, the parish of St Peter's was established, all funded and personnel and everybody else out of All Saints. It says in a book of a history of St Matthew's, through the generosity of the parishioners of All Saints, a magnificent grant had been given in the form of the new church hall and vicarage on a splendid site. Such a generous gift had never been known before in the history of the diocese. That's our inheritance. That's who we are. That's where we've been. And I think that's pretty amazing. And that's what we're going to be celebrating in November, 150 years of this parish. Finances have always been an issue. If you read through all the different histories, it always is. But it's about the right attitude and the right motivation. Can God do amazing things? Yes, he can. He can feed refugees with oranges. So my question as I looked at all of this was, how are we responding to this wonderful heritage, this wonderful provision that we've been given? Who are we trusting to provide for us going forward? What we've got or what God can do? What might God be calling us to do, both as individuals and as a church? They gave sacrificially in all those stories. And I believe as we give sacrificially of our time, of our skills, of our money, then God takes that, just like he took the little boy's lunch, and he multiplies it and blesses many. So what inheritance will we pass on to the next generation? I think we will be challenged, and going back to Bishop Muro, have big, audacious prayers and plans. Do the things that are humanly impossible. Trust God to achieve these things. You know, what is it? John Marquet, when they originally moved into this building, wanted to expand it out because it wasn't big enough. We've got a whole big building over there that we still don't know what we're doing with. We've always been a church that sends, that plants congregations, that plants churches. Is that something else that he's calling us to do? We've always been a place of training, having curates and having leaders. Are we being called into providing a leadership hub? There's lots of things that we can do if we seek God, see what he wants us to do, challenge ourselves to step out of our comfort zone, pray big prayers, and I believe God will mightily bless us as we do. That, I believe, is our challenge going forward from our 150th. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who knows what we need, who has great plans for us. Lord, help us to really seek you, seek what you are wanting, and have the courage to step out, to be courageous, and to give sacrificially of ourselves so that many may be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.